David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick. Look forward to sharing with your community on my mission of empowering over a billion people to be happy. So thanks for having me.
I love that you're here, and I can't thank you enough for giving me the time and giving me a chance to interview you. I think this will be a great one. I want to come back, so I want to bookmark what you said, empowering a billion people to be happy. I have a question about that. But first, I must ask, because it is the first question I ask all my guests, if someone has just clicked on this and they have no idea who David Meltzer is, they've never heard of you, they're not familiar with your work, they're not familiar with your mission statements, any of the above, why do you think they should continue listening to this podcast and listen to what you have to say?
Because throughout the last 35 years, I've developed the capability of teaching people three things: to make a lot of money, help a lot of people with that money, and have a lot of fun with that money. So if you're interested in making a lot of money for the sake of helping other people and for the sake of having fun, which, by the way, in my 35 years, I've never met anyone who makes a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun that isn't happy. So if you want to be happy, tune in for the next 20 minutes and I'll give you some tips and hopefully even more advice. And anyone in the neighborhood, man, I will give my book. I'll sign it, send it, ship it, pay for shipping in the book. Anyone that buys my new book as well, send that to them. So please just stay tuned. We're going to move your world, move your needle.
I want to break down each one of those things, each one of those three topics that you had just brought up. Making a lot of money. What do you think most people get wrong about money?
They think that the rule of the more you give, the more you receive applies to money. See, money's a man-made construct. The more love you give, the more you'll get back. The more kindness you give, the more you'll get back. But I promise you, you give all your money away, it's not coming back. There's a lot of things that you got to do in order to use that money to receive more money. You got to elevate your awareness to all that you're given. You got to look at the times when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to you making money to be able to make money. You need to receive. Most people don't know how to receive. They don't realize that when they don't receive, they're truly cheating other people of the highest capability, the closest to God that you can become, being able and capable of helping others. And more importantly, they not only don't know how to ask, they're afraid to ask. And if you have faith, there's more than enough of everything for everyone, more than enough money. And trust me, there is for everyone. Then you got to learn to give more, be given more, receive more, and ask for more than more. So you can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more. See, most people live in a zero-sum game. They give more and they receive less, and somehow they wonder why they're at zero. Do the math. If you give more than you receive, eventually you're going to end up at zero.
What are some of the mindset shifts that you had to have for your own sake to change your relationship with money?
Well, I've always been a creator, so I've always been able to make money, but I didn't have any quantitative disciplines on how to grow my money. And so for me, there's two quantitative disciplines that I have. One, how much time am I interfering with me making money? And quantitatively, in each milestone, whether it be my birthday or Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day or July 4th, I look back and say to myself, last July 4th, was I interfering? How much time was I spent interfering with me making money? And two, how much did I save? How many assets did I have? And both now, I want to decrease the amount of time that I spend interfering with me making money. And two, I want to have more assets at every milestone along the way.
When you say decreasing the amount of time that you spend interfering with money, what does that mean? So you're taking time away from things that don't directly correlate to making money, or break that down a little bit
more. Yeah, great question. I'm glad you asked to clarify that. So I break down behaviors as, is this behavior aligned with where I want to be or better? And one of those places is economically, or is it interfering with it? So for example, sleep, non-negotiable. Sleep will make you more money than anything that you ever can imagine, because it provides two things. It recovers recovery, which provides better performance, and two, it accesses information at a higher level so you know and have awareness to good people, good deals, when to buy or sell, all the things innately that we want to be aware of. And so for me, I'm categorizing non-negotiable behaviors: my sleep, my health, my family, the study of time, the study of relativity in accordance to my finances as well.
How do I so I see a lot of people that struggle with time management. I truthfully was one of those people and still am. I still think there's a lot of room for improvement. When you think about time and the passage of time and how you construct your day to maximize some of the things that some of the goals that you have, how do you just break that down for me? Like, how do you look at it from a macro level? And then on a micro level, what does that look like on a day-to-day, hour by hour, even a minute by minute breakdown?
Yeah, such a good question. And time is my love language. So I've studied time for 18 years. I have a time coach. I have a sleep coach. I have a health coach. One of the key things about time is find somebody that's already there and ask them for directions. That's the fastest way to get to where you want to be. But moreover, here's how I break time down. One, human experience. Human experience is dictated by what? The time your heart starts till the time it stops. So you better prioritize the things that keep your heart beating, like breathing, eating, drinking, movement, and sleep. Two, human experience is given a guarantee by God. He guarantees the common denominator of the human experience, which is 24 hours a day. Every day of your life, you're guaranteed 24 hours a day, except for the last day of your life, you'll be cheated. And so in accordance to maximizing the 24 hours in the human experience of keeping our heart beating, I hedge the uncertainties of circumstance by having non-negotiable, consistent behavior 7 days a week. So I spend a minimum amount of time on my sleep, a minimum amount of time on my health, a minimum of time with my family, a minimum of time on my faith, a minimum of time on my finance, a minimum amount of time studying time, and a minimum amount of time studying the meaning of that time, the relativity of that time, every single day, 7 days a week, regardless of the circumstances of the day. And if I have to take an exception, I make sure I don't double down and have two L's, two losses in a row. I'm only stacking victories, V's and W's, wins. And so once you get past your non-negotiable behaviors, which should be around 12 hours of time, including your sleep, and the majority of the 12 hours is sleeping, you realize that now you can circumstantially prioritize each and every day with what's important to you, where and who you can help, how you get it done. And when you prioritize what's important to you, you're utilizing through prioritization an antidote to the two most interfering things to your success: procrastination and the feeling of overwhelmed. It is impossible if you prioritize and do things now and do them next. Know what to do now and know what to do next. It is impossible to procrastinate or feel overwhelmed beyond the fact that 90% of the exponentiality of outcomes is from the consistent, persistent behaviors of your sleep, your health, your family, your faith, your finance, the study of time, the study of relativity. That's non-negotiable to circumstance. Now you're maximizing the circumstantial behavior, which has allowed me over all these years, like I said, to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, which is why I have huge free trainings, huge group activities. I have a limited wait list for one-on-one help, advisory, and investments that I make. But please sign up, read my books. I'll send them to you. Sign them, pay for shipping in the books, david@dmeltzer.com to help everyone.
Why is it, perfect segue, why is it important that we help others? And when did you come to the realization that helping others is something that you wanted to do consistently and something that you wanted to be a part of your mission statement?
Because the two ways to get to where you want to be is find people that can help you get to where you want to be and help others get to where they want to be. When we are able and capable of helping others, we're closest to God. We're at our highest self. That's why it's so important to help others. But remember, it's also important to help other people help you by allowing them to be able and capable of helping you. Allow them to be closest to God. Allow them to experience their highest self. So unlike most people, I don't think you're the aggregate of the five people that you spend the most time with. I think you need to play on teams that are by subject matter, topic, or expertise, and you need to pick your position on the team so that people on your team are playing ahead of you so you can play their position someday, and people on your team are playing behind you so they can play your position someday.
So I want you to expand on that a little bit, because that's a phrase that I'm sure a lot of people have heard. I know it's gone viral on social media and people always say you are the aggregate of the five people closest to you, but you don't believe in that. So expand on that a little bit.
If you're the aggregate of the five people you spend the most time with and you're a mom raising five kids, that means you'd be the aggregate of your five kids. So that doesn't make any mathematical sense to me. For me, if I want to learn about AI, I'm going to pick the position according to my capabilities today with AI, and I'm going to go out and find people that are, you know, implementing AI at ESPN, at Fanatics, at DraftKings. I'm also going to find people that, you know, want to be in my position in what I know about AI and who I know about AI. So I'm going to formulate a team, an AI team, so that I spend a minimum amount of time every day, you know, studying AI, practicing AI, but asking for help from people that are ahead of me and giving help to people that are below me or behind me.
David, I want to get to the last part of your statement, and that's having fun and empowering others to find happiness. You said you want to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. What does it mean to be happy?
Yeah, for me, I'm very pragmatic about happiness. So I want to empower people to make a lot of money to live in abundance. I want to empower them understanding the infinite loop of giving so that they give more of their money, they're given more, they receive more and ask for more than more of their money, so they can give more and more of their money, be given more than more, receive more and ask for more than more than more, so they live in the world of more than enough of money. But for the sake of helping other people in that infinite loop of giving, the last component is a capability of enjoying the consistent, everyday, persistent, regardless of evidence, persistent without quit, pursuit of their potential, their truth, what they desire, their divine direction. And so through having a lot of money, helping a lot of people, I now have to change their mindset to be able to enjoy every day without quitting the pursuit of their divine direction. So discipline is different than devotion. You can be disciplined. I have tons of people that I coach. They are so busy working, they forget to make money, right? They're so disciplined in working, they forget to make money. I teach devotion. I teach people to pay attention to and give intention to what they do, say, think, feel, and believe in alignment with what they want, the divine direction of making a lot of money. And so now there's a difference in devotional behavior and enjoyment of that compared to just going through the motions like the myth of Sisyphus, rolling a boulder to the top of the hill just to have it roll down to the bottom. I think most people, 98% of the people in the world, they live their life like tubes. Food in, food out. That's their entire existence.
If I came to you and I said, David, I feel like I'm meant for more, but right now I know I'm not hitting the potential that I know I have, that I know is inside of me. What is the first piece of advice that you'd give me?
Ask for help, and I'd offer it. I'd say, hey, join my Wednesday trainings with Napoleon Hill. I'm the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute. Join my free Friday trainings. Here's my book for free. Come and join our group on Mondays. Come to our meetups, our holding courts, our VIP dinners. Come not only and learn from people who sit in a situation that you want to be in, but be a part of a neighborhood of people that want to help each other and know people that help each other. Let me teach you how to give, to receive, and ask for more. Come and join us in where you're ready, in the capacity that you're ready. So that's the first thing that I would say, ask for help and then offer the help myself. If I'm not the right person, I would introduce them to somebody else.
What do you think scares successful people the most?
Losing the success that they have, that they identify with success. You know, I used to identify my bank account with my success, my cars with my success. And the greatest fear that you have when you're attached to outcomes is the outcome changing. See, when you're in love with the process, when you're in love and can enjoy what you don't like or love about what you love, when you can enjoy the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of your potential, the fear will dissipate and dissolve because it's not the outcomes. And your greatest fear is that you'll interfere with your potential, not that you're going to lose what you already have.
Help me understand, like, how does, I'll preface it with this. I had Gannon Baker on the pod and I've had other similar people to Gannon. He's a coach. He's coached Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kobe, worked with a bunch of NBA Hall of Famers. And I asked him, I said, do we over glorify the grind on social media? Meaning this idea that you should be working 24/7, that there's nothing but the work and you should just be always, you know, head down, focused on one goal. And he said, Nick, to be honest with you, you do you. Like whatever works for you, you should do that. For Kobe, it was that way. It was maniacal focus. He wanted one result and he was going to go get it. For others, like LeBron, to a certain extent, Curry as well, they have more balance in their lives. They make time for other things and that works for them. Is that the advice that you give people? Because on social media, I feel like especially with entrepreneurship, it seems like the advice that does well in terms of views and engagement is the advice of you should be focused on one thing, give it your all, and essentially ignore all else.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with that, right? You do you. It's your potential. And remember, recovery and access are the two most important things to success, not getting so busy working that you forget to reach your goal. And so many people don't do that. And so for me, you know, having non-negotiable behavior that's aligned with your divine direction and aligning the meaning of your past to that as well, because it's the meaning of your past, the meaning of the failures, mistakes, setbacks, defining moments, historical relevances. It's the meaning of your past that will determine your self-image and you'll never overachieve your own self-image. Everybody is different. And we're all part of a whole infinite, abundant, unified system. What's right for me may not be right for you because you're not in my divine direction. See, once somebody has a definiteness of purpose, see, the common denominator of LeBron and Steph and Kobe was they all had a definiteness of purpose. They just utilize what they did, said, thought, believed, and felt in alignment with the definiteness of purpose. The biggest problem most people have is they don't do them. They do what's missing, what they don't have, what other people want for them, what social media wants for them. The one thing in common is LeBron's doing what he wants to do, Steph is doing what he wants to do, and Kobe's doing what they want to do, and they're doing their best. They're learning lessons and having fun in the divine direction and aligning the meaning of their own past with the divine direction so that they don't limit their self-image or their imagination. Regardless of how you go about it, it's a grind only if you are interfering or making it difficult. You see, Kobe never, I was friends with him, never thought it was a grind, right? He just enjoyed the consistent, persistent, and narrow focus that he had. Where LeBron doesn't and Steph doesn't as well. They, like you said, a more harmonious existence in what they do, and they don't have to have a individual singular purpose or they that gets them to their ultimate divine direction. So the key component is, you know, do you have a desire that you must be what you can be, not what others, not what's missing and not what you don't have? And if you have a desire that you must be what you can be, and you go about it the way that best suits you in alignment with the meaning of the past, you're going to get there. You're going to have the acceleration, aggregation, and compounding of the outcomes like Kobe, like LeBron, and like Steph Curry.
David, two more questions here because I know you have to run. If you had a billboard and you could just put one message on this billboard for the entire world to see, what would that message be?
Be kind to your future self, do good deeds.
I love that. Be kind to your future self. Do good deeds. You have a book coming out called Don't Do Business With
Today.
Things. That is quite the title.
Today.
It's coming out today. Wow. Look at that. Excellent timing. There it is. Don't Do Business With Dicks. That is quite the title. Please. I mean, just explain what the book is. Where can people find it? Where can people find more about it?
Yeah. The subject line is really what the book's about: removing toxicity from your life, surrounding yourself with positive influences. I just have learned, because I've written so many books, that compassionate capitalism, connected to goodness, unstoppable, creating the life you love, does not sell off the shelf. Pre-orders did not go crazy. But when you get a good name that resonates with people, there's not one person in my genre that reads that title and doesn't go, oh, I got to read that book. Because they all do, right? Because we've all done business with Dick. So I gave it the right name for once that sells. You can't sell a secret. So I wanted to sell my book so more people can be empowered to surround themselves with their positive influences and remove toxicity from your life. So please order don't do business with dicks. Like I said, email me if you buy it. You don't have to prove it to me. I'll trust you. If you email me, david@dmeltzer.com, that you ordered Don't Do Business with Dicks, I will send you my other book. I'll sign it, send it to you, pay for shipping, pay for the book. So you're 2 for 1. Get connected to goodness, unstoppable. I'm happy to send those to you on my mission of empowering over 1 billion people to be happy, to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun.
Love it. David, I'll definitely be taking you up on that offer. I will be buying Don't Do Business with Dicks right as we get off this call, and you'll see an email in your inbox. David, this has been fun, man. It's been great to connect with you in person. Like I said, I've been following you and your message for a while. Love what you're doing and love the content. So, I mean, you don't need me to tell you to keep it up, but you certainly have a fan here. So thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for being part of my community. One of the 1,000 people I know that will empower 1,000 to empower 1,000. Nick, anytime you need me back, I got 20 minutes for you. Come on some of my shows. Come see us in person. We'd love to meet you. Thank you for the time and sharing your community with us.
It's been a pleasure, David. Thanks again.
Take care.